It is so amazing to me how the Bible is always so much on target. The Bible says in the latter times there come those who their love of God will wax cold. There'll be those that says that the Lord has already come. There'll be times when it just seems like it just says, Lord, just He's honest. He says there'll come a time when they'll deny the very power of God, and I believe we're in that day and time, Brother Eddie. I think we see history repeating itself. I think we look in the Old Testament, and I'm thinking now in particular of the minor prophets. Those men could very well be writing today. Those men could very well be writing to the churches of America today. Because they are so on target. They're so on target with the messages that they had in that day and time to God's chosen people, Israel. We find in the book of Malachi, and that's not my text this morning, but we find in the book of Malachi how that God's people kept the letter of the law, but the intent was not there. We see where they were doing the sacrifices that were required by the law, but their hearts were not in it. Where God called for the very best, they were given the worst. What should have been given first was given not at all, and what should have not even been offered was offered. We find in the book of Amos where God's people had become to the point of complacency and apathy. They had come to the point that they resolved to lift up themselves and to bask in the blessings that God had given them in days past and those things that were theirs in that particular time. We find that in all throughout the Bible, you'll find, I believe in the book of Hosea, where it talks about there'd come a day when it seemed that the bags would have holes in them and where the money wouldn't go anywhere. And someone said this morning, said there's something wrong when our government is bathing in excess money and it's not accomplishing its purpose, and we're having to have critical things, people, teachers and patrolmen, those things go on furlough to balance the budgets when more money's been spent in the last 6 months in America than it's been from the time of Washington until through the presidency of George Bush. There's something wrong. And it is as if we are a nation, our money bags have holes in them and it's just wasting away. We find where God's people, they call good evil and evil they call good. We find where even among the churches there seems to be, and among God's people, there seems to be this thing, ho-hum, does God really mean what He has said? We have come to a point in our nation, and I'm going to say our nation, and I believe in some of our lives, that we have come to the point that God would say to us this morning, woe unto you, woe America, woe to some of the churches. And this is my text this morning. It's found in the book of Amos, chapter 6, in verses 1 through 7. As I look at that, it starts off and says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Now, this is God's people. But if I had to title my sermon this morning, I would say it is woe to the sin of complacency. I want to tell you about that first word in our text this morning. That word is woe. And that verse is used in 98 verses of the Bible. But everyone experiences grief in some ways, and some people keep it inside, and some people cry, but there's some people who really break down. And we've all seen pictures and heard of the professional mourners in the Middle East and how they wail and scream and cry. Well, that's just what that word woe really means this morning. It's a wailing cry of anguish. It is somewhat a grief over something that is lost, and sometimes it's a loved one. You might say it's a funeral cry or a cry of defeat. And this is what God is now going to do to His children, Israel. Because He does love them, and yet they have been a people that in this particular case, they have come to trust in themselves instead of God. They have come where they love things more than they love God. They love power more than they love God. And God has told us in His Word that He says, I said before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey me, and a curse if you walk away from me. And we in America today, we are a nation that I know, and there's no doubt in my mind, that when our nation was founded, from the time of the Declaration of Independence was penned until the Constitution was ratified, that God had a hand in the founding of our great nation. It was founded upon Christian principles. In regards to what they will tell you today, America was a nation, and I believe still is a nation, that has its basic founding principles upon God's Word and upon God Himself. But yet God has seen fit in this land that is flowing with milk and honey to cry out unto us and say, woe unto America, I believe. Woe unto you that will call evil good and good evil. Woe unto you that will turn away from me and follow the dictates of a man. Woe unto you that has come to the point that you have a high disregard for me and my principles. Woe unto a land that has come to the point that they do not acknowledge that I am on my throne and that I do reign. I believe today that America, we are hearing the voice of God through, and it should be from the pulpits of America, but I believe today we have many so-called pulpits. The sin is not mentioned. The blood of redemption, who was certainly not mentioned because it is highly offensive. You can go anywhere in America today and you can use God's name all you want to, but you use the name of Jesus Christ, and it's not politically correct. In fact, there's been those that say, and I read this past week, now this may have been what triggered all this in my heart and my mind, was that one of the legislatures in our nation had asked a man to be their chaplain. He said, before you come and you deliver your devotion to us, you must submit it to the House Rules Committee that it might be observed to see if it's politically correct. And he had one whereby he had went through the devotion and he used the word Jesus Christ. And in his closing prayer, he said, this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. That committee had written back to him and said, we'll not be able to use that because it invokes a name that is not politically correct, and that name being Jesus Christ. Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. And I believe he's talking to nations just as sure as he's talking to those disciples or to those that were following him on that day. I believe he's speaking to us just as sure as he spoke to those 2,000 years ago, that if we deny the name of Christ, then he'll deny us. And I don't think that will deny us in eternity, but I think it will bring upon us the wrath of God as it just as sure as it did Israel in the book of Amos. So as we look at this word woe this morning, I'll finish reading the rest of it. But it says, woe unto them that be at ease in Zion, and that is Zion talking to God's people. It says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountains of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations, to whom the house of Israel came. Pass ye unto Kanaak and see, and from thence go ye to Hamath the great, then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms, or their border greater than your border? Ye that put far away the evil day, and cause the seed of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant and sound the viol and invent themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ornaments, but they that are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Now therefore now shall they go captive with the first that go captive, and the banquet of them that stretched themselves shall be removed. Now, if we look at that this morning, there's five things that I see in this passage here today that I believe that America is guilty of. It may be that we need to look at the sins of America, and we need probably to take and then apply that to my life, and you apply it to your life to see if you might be guilty of eating of the same plate that America is eating from today. And as we look at that and think about it, what he's really comparing it to is a people that are standing at a table and they're filling themselves they're filling themselves with those foods and those things that are unhealthy to them. It reminds me somewhat, you know, I think all of us, we all like to go out and eat. And from time to time, we have those that will give us great recommendations of certain buffets. And then they give us a great description of all those food items that are upon that table. But you know, I have discovered in recent days that I would be better to avoid the buffets. I found that I would be better off not to go to that thing. But the thing about buffets is that we get only, we can eat only the things that we like. You don't have to worry with getting salads and fruits and vegetables. You can get pizza and steak and fried chicken. You can even drown it with gravy. You can just get what you want and feel to your heart's content. But it's not always healthy for you. And what was happening in Israel in that day and time, they were eating those things that were displeasing, and they were excesses in those things. Things that they trusted in. We'll compare it to that this morning. But they were at ease. They were saying, hey, everything's rosy. We're doing good. I think America, we've said over the past several years, everything's good. We're doing good. The Lord has blessed us. We have an ease. We've got it made. And we begin to ease away from God and ease and grasp unto the world. I think today we might say that America has forgotten God, and we have looked to ourselves, we have looked to government for our answers to our problems instead of looking to the Almighty God and His Holy Spirit to guide us in this day in which we live. They have become so comfortable with their luxurious type of living, and may I tell you this morning, there's nothing wrong with nice things. There's nothing wrong with good food. There's nothing wrong with these things, but if they become to the point that they take the place of the blessings of God, then there's something wrong. And what had happened in that day and time, these people had come to the point that they were eased, they were comfortable, they were lazy, they had forgotten God, and they were going on their own way. I want us this morning, if nothing else, I want us to be aware of this one thing. I believe today that God is ready to remove the table from us or remove us from the table. It frightens me, and I don't mean to be a fearmonger this morning, but I do know enough about God's Word to say this, that God will not always wink at ignorance. He will not always turn a blind eye to disobedience. He will not always bless us as a nation of people if we continue to really blaspheme His name and reject those things that He has told us to do. And so that's what I want us to look at this morning. And the first thing that they were eating of that was excessive was the power. When they talked about when he came back and he said in the mountain of Samaria. He's talking about in Samaria, the Golan Heights, I believe is what they call it. Upon this, there was a great advantage point for Israel that they could look over all the surrounding territory. Israel probably at this time had a great army. They had great power. They were able to defend themselves. They had great capabilities that they were able to come. And so they'd come to the point that they were not afraid of the Philistines. They were not afraid of some of the weaker powers. They were saying, hey, we got it made. We have a great army. We can defend ourselves. It doesn't matter. In fact, we don't need God. That's what they were saying. We got a great army. We got a great army. We can defend ourselves. But what did he say? He said this, blessed are those that are at ease and trust in the mountains of Samaria. And he was saying, hey, you that trust in your power, be afraid. Be afraid. This is one of the first excesses. And then he goes and he says, you pass through all this land and you think you got it made. But it'll come the time, I think, where he says, listen, you that trust in your power, you better be afraid. You better be aware of those things that are going to come. But it was on this thing, they thought, well, we're safe from that standpoint. We don't have to worry about protecting ourselves. And you know, in America, I think we've taken great pride, and we should, in our military. We have the best military on the face of the earth. I believe that. And we have the best equipped. We have the F-22s, and we have the smart bombs. We have those things. And we can say, yes, we have the capabilities. But brothers and sisters, may I tell you this morning, the F-22s, the smart bombs, and all these other armaments that we have, if God withdraws His blessings, it doesn't matter how powerful they are, because I've seen armies in the Bible where they take a lantern and a torch and a trumpet and defeat a mighty power. And it was the armaments that were nothing in the sight of man. But we know today that, you know, if God withdraws His protective hand from America, we are in trouble. Where do you trust? Where is your power this morning? What do you trust in? Do you realize in the last year, do you know the last war that America actually won a victory in? Where America actually won a victory was World War II. Every other war since then has been ended by armistice or by treaty. There's been no surrender of the enemy to the United States. The Korean War, you know, it was ended by an armistice. And the North Korea today, they said, hey, we're about tired of it. We're going to attack you when we want to. You take the Gulf War, it was not a victory. Vietnam was certainly not a victory. And yet we know today that do we have victories? No. But we've got great power. Why don't we have victory? And I believe one of the things that we put our trust in the wrong way. Without question this morning, America is the most powerful military nation in the world. But are we the most powerful nation spiritually in the world? May God bless us. It's my prayer today that we have come to the point that we realize that we need God, that we can always look for our power. The second plate that they were eating at was simply this, the plate of progress. We look back and we said, man, haven't we made progress? Not too long ago, I was talking with some of my friends, and at my age, I said, do you know we've been able to observe in my lifetime some of the most greatest advantages and the ease of living that we've ever known? I can remember shaking peanuts by hand and piling them in the hedgerow and then putting them on a stack pole. I can remember pulling weeds by hand. I can remember plowing a mule where it was not all that great. But today, what do we have? Where it took probably 100 people to feed one or two people today, what is it, two farmers to feed? How many? We've come to that. We've seen the time when we'd go out on the porch to sleep at night that we might be cool, where we sleep under the air conditioning in vans and have comfortable homes. We have where we can pick up a little box in our hand and we can talk all the way across the world. We can take our computer and we find out about anything we want and a lot we don't want to know. We call it progress. But now what this morning? If the enemy should come to the point that our electric power was destroyed, where would we be in America? If electricity was destroyed today, the grid, what would we do? We have come so far that we look upon those things and we say, well, progress has made us. But I'll tell you this morning, progress will not keep us. We need the Lord. We need the Lord this morning. We look at this thing and we say, well, we got it made. But brothers and sisters, the only way we'll have it made when we have a total reliance upon Jesus Christ for our salvation and God for our protection in our day of living. The Bible says when Paul was preaching at Athens and on Mars Hill, he was preaching to those people about the unknown God. He made a statement. He said, this God that you worship ignorantly is the God in whom we live and move and have our being. And what is said, in Him we have our being, brothers and sisters, in God that we have our being. It is not in the adventures of man. It is not in the pleasures that we enjoy. It is because God has given us the things that we need to have life and have it. And those things that we need as far as food, clothing, and shelter. But yet we come back and we've got leisure time. I can remember years ago people say, well, we'll go to a 4-day work week. We'll go to a 3-day work week. We'll have it made. What were you going to do with our leisure time? What have we done in our leisure time? Crime and violence in America has grown. It's multiplied. But yet, progress, we look at progress to give us those things that we need. Then the other one that goes right hand in hand is materialism. Materialism. We look at this thing and old Amos, he was from Tekoa. He ate of the fruits of the land. He did not have all those things. But he came into this land. He began to look at these people. He talked about ornate furniture and the elegant way in which they decorated their homes. He saw the choice food that they were eating, and they just had it made. Can you imagine what he would have said today if he came into our homes in America, or even homes that are not considered wealthy, have the great luxuries of life as far as comfort? What would he say today when he looked and saw all that we have and how we have excesses? We have become a throwaway society. But he says, you're laying on beds of ivory and couches. He just said, hey, you're just putting trust in things of ornate instead of things of godly. Materialism. What we have, how much and how much great it is. And they were there. They were there. And God, I think about this so many times. I can remember as a boy seeing how the old Roman emperors laid on that couch and had that old cluster of grapes and eat, and how, boy, that was a life, wasn't it? America, we've been eating the grapes of wrath instead of drinking the spiritual things of God. Then the next thing I think they were doing was entertainment. They were in entertainment. The entertainment industry in America today is a multi-billion dollar industry. We've come to the point that we spend more on entertainment than we do on anything else. On relief, on charitable things, making ourselves, entertaining ourselves. And the more we entertain, the more we require. It's been said, you know, when you get a charge out of one thing, you got to get a little worse or a little better to make you get a greater charge out of it. And so what have we done? To see a movie that's scary, you got to have the next time, you got to have one that's more frightening. When you see those things of lust, you got to have something that's more lustful than the one you had before. When you come to the porn, that you got to have entertainment. There's something wrong. But Israel at that time had become obsessed with entertainment. Greece had the theater and Rome had the Colosseum. And Israel had their entertainment. We are no different today. We still say we need entertainment. God talked about the Israelites inventing themselves instruments, music, and what they were saying here. You just keep on adding to it. You just got to have more and more and more. And so when we look at those things today, we are a nation that is push, entertainment. You look on Sundays, what happens? Entertainment industry. You look during the week, all these games that our children play. How much do we spend on iBoxes and all these things? I don't know, Xboxes, those kind of things, compared to what we spend teaching our children spiritual things. Then the last one other thing was excess. He says, you know, he talked about in this particular thing, he says they chant to the sound of the music and invent themselves instruments of music. They drink wine in bowls. And what he said this is, instead of drinking wine out of the glasses, they were so obsessed with excessiveness that they would, instead of a glass of wine being enough, they wanted bowls of wine. They wanted to be drunken with wine. They wanted to go to excesses. It was a picture of extravagance. It was an excess in everything. Everything to the extreme. We go to the very extreme. Today we look around and we see alcoholism. We see drug abuse. We see entertainment of pornography. It's running wild and how people are giving up their homes and the things of spiritual nature to follow after the excesses of extravagance and of entertainment and of lust. And they had gone all that way. Today you drive up to your store, your fast food restaurant, and they say, do you want to supersize that? Do you want to supersize that? Give me 29 more sin or 59 more sin, and we'll make it a little larger. What about the things of this world? We are supersizing the things of ungodliness. We want to be supersizing the things of godliness. We've seen the picture of Israel all sprawled out with all you can eat buffet and at ease buffet. They're feasting at a banquet, they're being entertained, and they do not realize that they are letting the things of God go lacking. They do not realize that they're not. They think they're all right. I'm afraid today we in America, we think we're all right, even in the face of it. And we may just begin to see some of the things that is on the horizon beginning to show its ugly face to us today. We're dumping upon our kids debts that they will have a rough time paying. What happened to them? Well, they went captive. They were put into captivity. They're going to verse 7. Now, therefore now shall they go captive with the first that go captive, and banquet of them that stretch themselves shall be removed. Brothers and sisters, today, the banquet and table of complacency does not do anything for us. It makes us lazy. It makes us have apathy. And it just makes us not care for the things of godliness because we're so absorbed with the things of the world. It makes us not to care about godly things. It makes us be at ease inside. We're comfortable with the sin in our lives. We're comfortable with the things that could break our hearts. And I look around today, what does it take to bother you today? We can see on the TV horrible things, horrible crimes of mothers against children. We see horrible things of man against man, and what does it do to us? Haven't we become hardened? As Vance Havner says, we have become used to the dark. And it's time for us as God's people, what can we do about it? I'll give you a great problem, and I'm going to give you a great solution. Because I believe whenever God's people have always been disobedient, they have come complacent, they have been unconcerned about the blessings of God, we've seen the Lord move His church. We saw the church move from England to America. And I believe today we see the church moving from America to the East. We're seeing that. But when they did, what happened? What happened to them? God destroyed everything that they had put their trust in. They took away their power. He destroyed their hope in the possessions that they had by taking away all their material blessings and made them slaves. And took away their entertainment. Is this what we want for America? Is this what we want in our homes? Is this what we want for our children? And I believe this. God has said in His Word that He will not be mocked. He will not be mocked. He will not bless us and allow us to walk and slap Him in the face and spit in His face. What's the curse of complacency is simply this. Complacency led to the death of a nation, Israel, in that day and time. Complacency caused the people of Israel to reject and to fail to carry out their divine mission as being known as the children of God. Complacency caused Israel to be denied them the destiny of a great nation. In our day, complacency and apathy may lead to the death of some local churches. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, talking about the Lord, He said, remember whence thou art fallen and repent, or else I'll remove the candlestick. And He's talking about removing the Spirit of God. Complacency robs the church and God's people of many energetic, consecrated witnesses of the power of God. And complacency on our part may prevent many people from enjoying the abundance of God's blessing through the church. The cure from complacency, listen, ma'am. I don't ever like to give you the problem without giving you the solution. And I know I'm going to run over just a minute, but listen, bear with me. The first step to overcome this is simply this, to understand the love that God had for His people through the death of Jesus Christ. He has made us a special people. He has claimed unto Himself a very special people that we are to be known as the children of God and have a home in heaven. And the second is to understand our purpose, and it is to praise God. And we will not be praising God when we go into these places. That's an abomination to God. When we go into those places whereby God is not welcome, whereby we see the excesses of alcohol, we see the excesses of lust, we see the excesses of a lot of things. And may I tell you this morning, wherever you go, if you be a child of God, Jesus Christ is with you. And are you going to subject Him to what you care when you go into some places? But we have a our responsibility is to be faithful witnesses of the love of God that others might see Christ in us. And when we go to those things and do those things that's not pleasing to God, then what does it tell the world? It makes a mockery of the blood of Christ. And that's a shame. But we need to understand the love and the mercy of God, who loved us so much that He sent His Son to die for us, that we might have heaven as our home, that we might have the abundant life when we walk with Him in this life, that we might have the strength to repel the evils of darkness and the standing forces that come upon us. We need to know this morning that He delights to show mercy in all our predicaments. And when we turn away and we have a repentant heart, He will bless us and He'll give us strength to walk according to His Word. We need to understand that His love and His mercy is eternal, and that the blessings of God are temporal and they are eternal. Because we have heaven as our home because of the blood of Christ, but we can have joy of living while we're here when we claim the blessings of God. We must hear and obey the commands of Jesus Christ. We must seek His will. We must understand His commandment for each of us to live a godly life. We must recognize Him when He walks with us, when He talks with us, and when He guides us. And we must obey His directions. And how are we going to do that? By studying that. He said for us to avoid even the very appearance of evil. We must obey His directions. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O America. Hear, O my people. Lord, our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, body, and soul, and with all thy might. Thou might love one another as well. That we might be a faithful witness. That we might love God. We might love Christ. Better than we love power. Better than we love entertainment. Better than we love possessions. Better than we love ourselves. We need to love Him with all our being. If we, there's two things that we'll do. If we love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, body, and soul, with our mind, and one another, we all, brothers and sisters, we have happiness while we sojourn here. If you're a child of God and don't walk in that, then I tell you, you will not experience the joy that can be yours when we walk hand in hand with God. And God bless us. That we'll be a people that will fight the sin of complacency and of apathy. That we'll put Him in first place in our life. That we might enjoy the blessings of God in our homes, in our lives, and with our families. May God bless us is my prayer this morning. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, help us. Help us, O God, to put You first. We know from Your Word that You are a jealous God, and You'll not allow another to take Your place. Father, help us to remain in the land of the free and the home of the brave. But Father, may we do it by relying upon Thee instead of man and upon power. Oh Lord, bless each one of us that are here this day to love Thee more and serve Thee better and love one another as we all. These things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. This morning, if there should be one or more here that have a desire for home, the Lord's people in Him, right? To walk with us as we walk together to serve the Lord, that we might be faithful witnesses. And we might claim the promises of the abundant life as we walk in obedience. If you have that desire, we give you the opportunity to express it, to come forth, become a part of the family of God in this place, and we welcome you with open arms.
Where they were so turn back to God.